Australia is still failing to close the gap between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people in key health and welfare targets. We've seen improvement in land and water protections, preschool enrolment and employment rates. However, suicide and incarceration rates for First Nations people remain significantly higher than the rest of the country, and too many children are being removed from families in the name of child protection. To learn more, Community Radio Network reporter Noah Seckham spoke with CEO of SNAKE, the national peak body representing First Nations children, Catherine Little.
The only real positive, tangible outcomes were in employment and early childhood education enrolments. But we were also seeing at the same time developmental outcomes worsening. How is this happening? What's missing?
Look, I think it's the ability to implement change and reform at speed and at scale. What you saw in the Productivity Commission report was where governments are making a real concerted effort. And to be clear, you know, there's work going on in all directions, but when that effort is accelerated and it's done in conjunction with organisations and communities, that's when you get real outcomes and you get them a lot faster. When we're looking at things like the statistics that relate to children, we know that in it there are pockets of blue sky. We know that those pockets are all areas where there has been a direct change in a commitment to work better with the Aboriginal community controlled organisations. We know when we're looking at the scale of the amount of change, that is not something communities can do by themselves. And those failings are not the failings of our children. They're not the failings of our families or our communities. They're failings of governments when they continue to fall short on their obligations under the National Agreement on Closing the Gap. Of great concern, obviously, is what we're seeing in child protection. Those numbers are horrific. They are absolutely horrific.
And it feels like we're seeing that play out in the Closing the Gap data as well. Do you think that there's hope for some of these other broader policies that the government's pushing with to get us closer?
Look, SNAKE is really clear in its advocacy, and that is if you want to close the gap, you have to start with children. This is a really easy one. If you're wondering why we come up with that, if you ever sit down and think about what a child needs, it becomes really obvious that a child needs food to eat. It becomes really obvious that a child needs somewhere to sleep. It needs its parents or family members or carers to love them. It needs a nice safe place where, you know, they might be able to go and play or have their own time. They need to be able to go to school. They need clean clothes. They need shoes to put on their feet. And you start mapping out, okay, in order to do that, what does a family need? Well, a family needs jobs. A family needs a house. A family needs to be able to access healthcare. A family needs to be able to access services that a child might need if it's having a hard time or if they're having a hard time. Then you map that out again and you go, okay, well, what does the system need? It needed a healthcare service to exist. But the challenge is, how do we leverage it? How do we make it happen? And that starts with working with communities to say, how do we get this up? And how do we make sure we're developing the very best response for you in consultation with you?
We've finally seen the first appointment of the Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander Children's Commissioner. Why has it still taken 18 months to get here? And is it standard practice for these things to take that long?
It took too long, there's no doubt about it. The blue sky on that is that the person that has been given that position is very well respected by the sector, is a fearless advocate for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. And the work that has been going on in the interim period to ensure that that position has the teeth that it will require to be effective has been really, really important. If we know that closing the gap starts with our children, if we know that we need to adjust funding models in order to be able to ensure all children have access to services, if we know that there's legislation out there that has been deliberately designed to harm Aboriginal children, then we need to have a look at it. And I'm certainly feeling even more hopeful given that Sue Ann Hunter, who is our first National Children's Commissioner, will do a fantastic job.
Why is it that there's almost an acceptance that it takes incredible amounts of advocacy and even tragedy for movement to happen in these spaces?
Royal commissions look at legislations, laws, and policies. That's what they do. And then they take 3 or 4 years and then they make a set of recommendations that the government may or may not implement at its will. As you've said, the Royal Commission into Black Deaths and Custodies, one of the most incredible royal commissions the country has ever held. And its recommendations were fierce and they were well informed. And some incredible things came out of it. And what the commissioner gives us is a signal that the government is starting to get serious about protecting children. And it gives us great hope that with that position in place, we're going to be able to move things like the national agreement just that little bit faster because children deserve no less.
Catherine Little from Snake there, speaking with Community Radio Network reporter Noah Seckham. To hear the full interview, you can check out From Pillar to Post, wherever you get your podcasts.